Like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Genesis and chapter 3. And in our exercise of these days, we looked at the human condition and tried to understand a little better that God is very, very serious about what is going on and where it's going to end up. And humans are in deep trouble, because if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they end up in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And God is trying to warn people while on earth. And the conditions on earth tend to deceive us. And God helps us as we looked at it. The word wretched, that stone people that worked in the stone quarries and everything, pulling the chain, pulling the bricks and everything, stones, never free. And we looked at wretched, and thus / miserable, miserable, pity. And we looked at that. And what, in the light of that, God wretched and miserable. And God, what is the requirement? What is human need? Why don't we just go and make little tropical islands and everything and make everything plush and nice for people, and they'll just go with it? But that is not true. The more God gives, the more God does in his goodness, the less humans honor him. And God warned Israel, didn't he? He said, when you have big everything and house and food and everything, you're going to forget me. And that's your danger. When I help you, you're going to forget me. Now, so therefore, what is the big word? What are you going to do for us, God? There's a word, and we just sing it, mercy. And we started to look at that. So I want to look at it again, because it's the main word. Two things. Grace. Grace takes care of our guilt. We're all guilty. And we've got to fess up to it. We're all guilty. And secondly, the guilty people are in a wretched state, miserable. And what are they going to need? Mercy. Of all the things you make it clear you do to all human beings and for all human beings is grace and mercy. You begin the epistles, you end the epistles, grace and grace and mercy and grace. Why? Because it's absolutely essential in our daily 24-hour-day lives to understand without God's mercy, we're in deep trouble. Now, so therefore, in Genesis chapter 3, God. So Adam and Eve sinned. They were in the Garden of Eden, and they sinned and took of the tree, disobedience, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus they ended up under the domain of evil and the devil himself, ultimately. So in the process of that, they knew they were guilty, and they went and believed, Genesis 3:15. God gave them a wonderful promise, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, all these things we've done so often. And not only did they believe for their guilt, but they received for their benefit, and God went and killed the animals, skinned them, and gave them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. And they did that. Then they had to leave the Garden of Eden. And leaving the Garden of Eden, they had to go outside. Now, up to the time that they disobeyed God, things were pretty good everywhere. But they aren't so good now. And so when they're out of the Garden of Eden and they can't get back in, and Cain comes along and Abel comes along, they are born, Genesis 5 and all of that, in the line of Adam. Genesis 1:26-27, in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 5, in the likeness of Adam. We lost the relationship to God. Now hang on. Over to chapter 4. And you remember Cain went, and Cain killed Abel. And in killing Abel, God was merciful. In the sense, he allowed Cain to continue. But in doing so, Cain is cursed. How so? Verse 4:11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Here's the blood of Adam, but of Abel on the ground. And God said that ground doesn't want blood, and the blood's on the ground, and the ground is going to curse you. Therefore, how so? Verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. So there's nowhere to go, Cain, that you can go plant or do anything without going from one problem to another. No matter where you go on the face of the earth, you're a fugitive. And the ground, wherever they find, the ground says, if you can think of the ground says, who's that on top of me? And they look up, Cain, the ground looks up and says, well, that's Cain. Cain. And boom, he has to move. And he has to move. He has to move. He can't stay. And Cain says, that's a terrible punishment. So what did you do? Point. He went, verse 17, and built a city. That's what he did. And remember, we did these 100 years ago, all of this. And so here they build a city. It's in the participle. He's building the city. A city has never been finished to satisfy what Cain started. The city is meant to... Why did you build the city? I can't wander. And remember, they got huge intelligence back then. The sin is just starting. Tremendous knowledge. And therefore, they would what? They had everything. Music, they could create, all of them. Humans were creative. And they created everything. Music and brass, the brass of bronze and iron things and everything they needed. They created. They weren't a bunch of apes out there. They were brilliant humans. And what did they do? They all came together, and what could they do? What couldn't they do is the better question. What couldn't they do with the ground and everything? And they improvised. So much so, when you come to Genesis 6, all these people that have been living multiplied in the days of Noah, and they did evil continually. You might as well turn a page so you see it. In chapter 6, in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, thought process, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so, now, my point, how do they make it all the time, plus 120 years? In 120 years, Noah and started the ark. Now, in 120 years, they were quite content without God doing evil continually. Now, hang on. They were in a miserable state. They didn't care. God was missing. Where's God? Where's good? Not there. Not there. And they went, and they're very comfortable. They're comfortable looking, traveling, as it were, going down the corridor of time. And they improvised and fixed and made everything workable. All the while, they're making an assumption that the 120 years, not going to be judgment, never. And they just keep going. And it's like they make an assumption about the future. Everyone does, most of us, people. They make assumptions about the future. And they go down the corridor. It's like a mirage. If you've ever been out in the desert or in places like that where it's there's nothing, and every now and then on the right conditions with the sun and everything, you see water, a whole big water patch. And wow, but it isn't there. It's a mirage. A mirage. An assumption we're doing as we go down the corridor. It's going to be all right. We keep doing it. Now hang on. We're going to keep doing it. That's the human. That's humans out of the line of Adam. And here we are sitting here, the same line, the same group of people with the same problems. And we haven't changed. Watch. So in the process of going and going down the corridor now, over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, picking up, please. And we're there. You have to keep going back to pieces and then looking at the pieces again. And each time, like on a puzzle, you put the lay of pieces out and try to find out where they go. And you think it may go here, but then you go look at it again. No, it goes here. And you keep going with the pieces. And each time as we grow and know, the pieces start coming together. They fit. So here we are looking again, Matthew chapter 6. And you know it, but may I go directly, if I can, to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, said the Lord. In other words, you don't have to take it. Well, I'll read verse 30, I have to. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, of that shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, let your mind be all divided, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, whether shall we be clothed? That's the world. Verse 32, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? That's what they want. What's Cain doing? He's building a city to make up for the absence of God. What do we need to care? We need entertainment. We need pleasure. We got to cover our pain. We got to do everything. And we're busy doing it. And when we're all done, jumping way ahead, when we're all done with everything, and all our human skill and electronic world and all of these things, and you realize there's a word, we can't even look at it tonight, called the element. You are caught up in the elements of the world. Science and math and all of these genius things, because you're brilliant. But so were they back there. And you haven't learned a thing. Point. All that you know, understand, all your math books, all your understanding, all your inventions, every single thing you know in your physical, material life. I've crucified it and I don't need it. I'm never going to keep it. Not one drop of it is going to go. Now, look all we did, the Nobel Prize and all of these things. It isn't going to go. But nothing wrong with it. Medicine, cure for this and try that and do these things. That's all wonderful. You know, to have a super tomato that's this big, that has every nutrient you need, plus it has 95 grams of protein. I have to tell you, I mean, you know, we invented it. Now, all of that is nothing, said God. You've learned nothing. Having tried to be wise in your own deceits, professing yourself to be wise, you became fools, and you know nothing. The elements, bondage, because you never went past the ABCs, as it were, jumping ahead. Now, so the point, at the end of verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Okay. Now, that's a wonderful offer to the Israel. in that day, Jerusalem, etc., if they want to have him walk as king. But they don't want him as king. They're going to yell, crucify, crucify him. So God, has humanity changed here? Genesis 6, we're sliding down the corridor all the way to where we are and keep going. Now, over to chapter 24. Matthew and chapter 24. In the tribulation coming up, remember the mood. The mood is, we're good enough, we'll make everything work, no matter how you cut the cookie, we're going to make it go. Okay. Chapter 24, as you know, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father and Father only. Verse 37, chapter 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was that? What was it like in the days of Noah? Before, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. We just said it. What did they do in 120 years? Nothing. They just kept going. It got worse. And you got to remember, evil was getting worse. Without God, without good. Kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, and so therefore, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, without turning there for time's sake, if you did 2 Peter and chapter 2, verse 3, and kept reading, you will read the judgment of Noah's day. God said, God rehearses it for us historically. God said, I judge Noah's day, great flood. And Sodom and Gomorrah made an assumption that they could just do kooky things and call dogs male dogs male, yeah. In other words, a male, female, person, man, woman, dog, cat, call yourself whatever you want. That's the idea. That's crazy. What's wrong with it? What was wrong in the days of Sodom? Nothing. Nothing. Bestiality? Anything? Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. And in the day they knew not, God took him out. So what do humans do? They just plow along, and without taking time to look at it, Revelation, because I want to get to the other part, Revelation 13, what do we know? What's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to go what? He's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's going to go and do what he does, and he's looking for what? To be the boss. We're under the thumb. Hang on. Let me do it a different way. Under the thumb of the devil himself. We're under it. We're conditioned by the conditions. We're being conditioned by the conditions. And shots, and I need another shot, and another shot, and next month you need another shot, and then you need this, another need that, and the mask, it's a good business. And control, fear, when's it going to end? Oh, boy, do we wish we knew when it was going to end. But don't count on it. But for us, for believers, I'm trying to get it clear. I want to have it. I refuse, except when they tell me I have to do it, etc. In the hospital, the doctor made me put the mask over my face. And then I was about to say something, and somehow I disappeared with a shot. But I noticed the mask disappeared. And I was going to wake up and say, now why couldn't I have taken that off ahead, you see? Because you don't care. Anyway, you don't care about those things. Now, so therefore, looking to God, God, awesome. And God, we're looking at judgment, and judgment is coming, evil, darkness, death, deception. And we're looking and we're assuming that we aren't even thinking of those things. We see them, we come to grips with them in our country and all over the world. So in the process, and we understand we brought nothing in, and we take nothing out. That's very clear. So we brought nothing in, take nothing out. So it's pretty obvious where here we are on the ball spinning around in space, and we can't get off. We can't get off. And there's no. What are we keep going up and up, and Pluto and Mickey Mouse and all of them trying to find something up there, trying to find where to go. Where can we go? Where is there something different? But you can't get off. You can't get off the planet as it spins. And you're earthbound in your miserable world's miserable, wretched state. And that's where you're going to stay until I go and make a new heavens and a new earth, until I fix this. So here we are on my point. I don't mean to drift so much. Now, so in the process, of going down as we're going, so what is, and how do we change it? We don't. And that's why you can go to communism, socialism, and humanism, and materialism, and Islam, and everything else. And whatever, you got all kinds of systems that try to handle future, try to handle how to handle your existence. But none of them are any good. And none of them have God. Godless, that's right. Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that won't believe. So the people don't want to believe. They don't want to understand. So now here we are looking and going over to it, saying that now another way. So what's the sense? We just keep going, and that's what we do. Now, add another way to look at that. As believers, what about so-called people that have the advantage of the Bible? What do they do? The world's doing what it's doing. We read it in Matthew 6. They're doing what they're doing. They're going to keep doing it. And no matter how bad, it could be terrible, terrible conditions. But you adjust to them, and you maneuver in them. That's what you do. You live with them. Now, so therefore, over to Exodus. And seeing it from a different window as a people that have the advantage. And in Exodus, if I can. So remember now, there's nowhere else to go, but we're going to keep going and doing. And you have to understand. Because if it's such a wretched, miserable condition, why aren't people rushing to get saved? They aren't. Because what we're looking at, they don't need to. They don't want to. They don't want to do that. They just want to do what they do. That's what we want to do. We need to understand that. So when you say, God, thank you for being merciful to me, a sinner, etc., you ought to understand why that is wonderful. A wonderful thing that God will be merciful to you and me. And 1,000 times, as it were, he's going to say it to you. In 1,000 ways, we can't do them all. And 1,000 ways to do them so you can see it. If it wasn't for my mercy, said God, you'd never make it. You'd never make it. Now, hang on. Therefore, Exodus. Here's Israel. And what happens to them, the wretched, miserable, they're in great bondage. They're in slavery. The God of this world had blinded their minds, as we said. And he's in power. And even though we think we're doing everything, our old nature isn't going to serve God. Our old nature will, he's using our old nature. Our old nature keeps us from God. So therefore, as long as he can keep you active, your old nature, self, system, then you don't have to bother with people, because people are going to be what? Godless. What's the whole point? Keep them godless. Keep them godless. Communism, keep them godless. Our country, get them to be godless. Now, chapter 1, may go to verse 13. In 1. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field of all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. That's how they served with rigor. Now, they're in terrible bondage for 400 years almost. Terrible bondage. And they cried, but never enough to God. And God waited for Moses and all of those things to take place. Now, having said that, now I want you to get the conditions of Egypt where they were. Now, slide with me over to Exodus, and in Exodus chapter 14, and you pick it up. Exodus chapter 14. And may I pick up, please, the thought, if I can, directly, chapter 14 and in verse 12. Israel is going exiting. They haven't crossed the Jordan, but they're exiting. Now, I'm interested in their attitude. After terrible, terrible, terrible bondage, you'd think, boy, you know, as they're marching out orderly out of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 12, I'll read verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? And wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve like slaves, serve the Egyptians, than that we should die in the wilderness. Why? Aren't you guys? You guys haven't even got out of there yet. Here you are headed to the Red Sea, and you haven't even got out yet, but you're waiting, say, why did you take us out? And remember, the only reason they left, one of the reasons, is because God took the firstborn of the children of Egypt and anywhere there wasn't blood on the door. And no one, they didn't want Israel. Israel was the cause of it. And therefore, they said, Israel, they kicked him out, actually. They said, Israel, get out of here. That's why they gave them jewels. They could rob their house. That's where they got all the jewels and gold and everything. Because no one's going to say anything. Just go. And the Israel went. Now, having said that, so they are they going? But they want to stay. They want to stay. They do. And without going into numbers and everything, that's what they did. All the way. Oh, one other place, Deuteronomy. Now, Exodus chapter 14 is at the beginning. Now I want to go to the 40 years have come to an end, or are coming to an end. Now I want to go to the 40th year. After 40 years coming on, I'm interested. I'm interested in how things are going. So Moses giving taking all the truths of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, taking all that wonderful truth and putting it together in a final message. And therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 12. Picking up, please, in chapter 12, picking up, if I can, in verse 6 directly. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. What is that? Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. After 40 years, you guys are still doing your thing. You're still doing your thing. And that's why you aren't surprised. The little bit of time in Judges, And they're right back in the book of time of Joshua, and you're right in Judges, and you know what's Judges. Everyone did that which is right in what? Their own eyes. That's what they did. So were they cured out of Egypt? No, but the pressure was on, like the millennium. Are you going to goof in the millennium? No, you don't goof too much in the millennium. And you don't have a shooting or anything else. You don't have that. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 8. And if you would, keep in mind now, the world is just doing what it's doing, right into the tribulation. It's going to be doing the same as it did in the days of Noah, only God's judgments will be taking place, etc. And there's still nothing's quitting. They're going to do what they do. They will not repent. So hit that. That's the world. Israel had opportunity to know and honor God, and to know and to be the vehicle to bring forth the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of that advantage, they couldn't get the world, Egypt, out of their head. They couldn't get it out of their head. Man, everyone else does it. Why can't you know all those things? 1 Samuel chapter 8, I think. We don't want to judge like Samuel anymore. We want to do like the nations do. They can do what they want, as they want, how they want, and that's what they do. We want that, and that's what they got. Now, having said that, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are not, they're the same mind. They haven't changed. They're going to crucify him. And in chapter 8, he presents himself, because he properly should do so, to let them know exactly who he is for 3 1/3 years. Now, in chapter 8, picking up, please, I'll have to read verse 28, I guess. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I'm perfect man, trusting God in a perfect way to enjoy the perfectness of God. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. After all, the Son was to represent the Father. Over to verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. And so the people that were believing, God said, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, be abiding in my word, resting in who I am and what I've done and what I'm going to do and say, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, for sure, absolutely. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, reality, awesome, wonderful reality. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free, liberty, free. Free to do what you want to do. You're a slave. He's a slave. They're slaves. Bondage, wretched. Slaves. You can't do. Try to do the will of God without being saved. Try to do the will of God being saved without abiding and trusting God. Try to do it. Try to do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You couldn't do it. It requires God. It requires God. And so therefore, if I can, in verse 30, to the word many believed in, verse 30, 32, truth shall make you free. That's what free means. Free, liberty, to do what you ought to do, what you're supposed to do, what God would have you do. You can't do it without God, saving grace. Therefore, in verse 33, they answered him, "Were we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou ye shall be made free?" Why are you telling us free? We're Jews. We're Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and everything. We are all these things. We're Jews. Jews have the top of the pile when it comes to God. God said we are not in bondage. The word bondage is the word slavery. Slave. The slave was the lowest place in the Roman Empire. The slave. Remember, we did all that. I read it to you once, the whole thing. Way back then, read it from way back there. A dog was better off in the house than a person was. Horrible, horrible conditions. Doesn't mean there aren't exceptions, but generally conditions were horrible. Miserable, wretched. Now, so therefore, they said, we aren't in bondage, we aren't in slavery, we aren't. We'll keep going quickly. And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The word servant, slave, a slave. You're a slave of what? Sin. I don't serve sin. You serve your old nature, whether you like it or not. And you have no choice unless you get saved and trust God. You can't get out of it. You're caught. Slave. Bondage. Now, hang on. Thus, verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." So, slaves and servants, okay, verse 36, "And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Truth will make you free, verse 32, "Jesus Christ will make you free." He will make you free. Now, in contrast, where they were not able to get that, because, verse 44, in the light of the context, I'll read verse 43 a little. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Truth will set you free." He don't want the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar. He is evil. There's no good. There's no truth in him. He lost it when he sinned. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, so he's the father. That's a liar. He's a liar. Now, having said that, here's the devil. The devil is the father. Now, how can it be? Because he's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2-3. And we're all children under bondage to what? The world system. We are the world system. Who's in charge of the world system? Us humans. The devil is. The devil lets us go because we got an old nature and we cooperate and do all the things we're doing, all of it headed to the Revelation 13, ultimately, down the corridor of time. So here we are going down, and we're all looking to God, more or less, but we aren't doing looking to God that much, I should say, as we go down in our general system. And the God of this world is taking us there. And we've been trying to share that in some little way. Genesis 6, all the way down the line. What are we doing? We're going to do whatever is needed to be done to make it go. And you know, without turning back there in Genesis 11, etc., what are you going to say, God? If I don't scatter them, do you know how much they could do? If I don't stop them by spreading them out, do you know how much they could do? I've given them capacity. huge capacity. Wow. Now, hang on. So therefore, as we go looking to God, so here's the God of this world doing what he does, and he says, your father's the devil. That's what it is. Who's the God of America? Who's the God of Israel? Who's the God of all of them? As far as the humans go, the humans are looking to the system, and the system is under the God of this world. Matthew 4, all the kingdoms of the world, God, he offered them to the Lord, are his, including us. So he's in charge. That's right. He's in charge. But what's wrong with it? There's no God. When do we get free of the bondage? We don't. When do we ever get out of this? We don't. We can't. We're caught. And we're trying to travel down, and we bring nothing in, take nothing out, etc. That's what we're doing. We're caught in it. So make the best of it. Go buy 3 pizzas and have everything and do whatever you need. Make the best. And that's why everything, people do it. But it's very frustrating trying to do your best because it doesn't satisfy anything. You do the best you can, and when you're all done, so you won the trophy. So what did you do? Now you got a trophy. Put it on your bureau. There's your trophy. Now what have you got? Well, I ran the race and run the trophy. That's not good. Now what have you got? Nothing. I got nothing. What did you gain? Nothing. I got a trophy. I did that. That's my little story of my life. But it isn't about the story of your life, because the story of your life is written on a tombstone. Born, died. That's the story of your life. And if you want to find more of a story, go search the tombstones of the world and see how much of a story you can read about anybody on their tombstone. You aren't going to read much of anything. Just that they came in and they came out. A king or a pauper would make any difference. Now, so having said that a little bit, and thinking, if you would, along that line, over if I can, to Romans, and you'll see it. I can do it. God does a wonderful thing in saving us. And the word we're looking at is serve, bondage, slave, slavery, same word, noun, verb, slaves. So God, here we are looking, Romans chapter 6, and you recall, God said when Christ died, he took us to the cross, and he died in our place. Took our place on Calvary's cross. He died, was buried, and rose again. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, all of that God has done on the cross becomes ours. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk. We also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, it's obvious we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Sliding to verse 6. Know this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve. Word serve, slave. Slavery. We should not be a slave to sin. The truth will set you free. The Son will set you free. You don't have to be a slave anymore to the system. And the system isn't going to let go. It ain't going to let go for anybody. No, sir. That system's pushing. And it's an awesome thing happening now. Now, so therefore, having said that, God serves sin. Now, in the light of it, close. Over to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, if I may, you will know, if I can, picking up and going directly in the light of chapter 8, excuse me, chapter 7, verse 24. We did that, a wonderful chapter of the exercise of a believer trying to figure out, how am I going to live for Christ in the light of my old nature? And God's telling him, God crucified, reckon yourself dead, etc. Now, verse 24. And if I don't, if in the struggle of trying to live for God and do the right thing in the right way and come out right, oh, wretched man, verse 24, that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Death, darkness, disease, evil. Who's going to rescue me? God, in your mercy, I'll rescue you. I'll save you in your miserable lot. Now, having said that, now you're ready. We'll try it. Over to chapter 8. And I'll pick it up in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where did we get this victory? Hath made me free, liberty, so I can do the things I ought. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Made me free. Now, having said that, chapter 8. Now, God, what did you do in the light of everything? Jumping. Chapter 8, picking up, if I can, in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage. There's your slavery, bondage, a slavery, a condition, a slave, to be as a slave, to be enslaved. We receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What's the chief enemy? Fear of death is the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy that God will take care of. Because the unsaved people are going to do what? They're going to a second death. The first death will have ended. And they're judged at the great white throne judgment. What is that? That's called the second death, eternal death. There is no way out. Now, hang on. Awesome. Chapter 8 and in verse 15. And it received the spirit of bondage, a fear that we received the spirit of adoption. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption means to be placed as a full son. Now, God, what did you do? You did something wonderful. We were there looking at an awesome God, and God, we're accountable. If you read John 3:18 and all that, we're condemned already because we don't believe. That's why we're condemned. Verse 36 of John chapter 3, the wrath of God is where? Like a pendulum, pit in the pendulum, swinging over your head. Over your head. The wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. Now, God, what did you do? You ought to judge. You ought to run running this whole thing. It's only you. God, what are we going to do? God, wow, you ought to judge. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the judge, taking us to court where we lose the case at the great white throne judgment. God, you're going to take us to court? Oh, no. Do you see? Like in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, that. Let us reason together. Let us settle the case out of court. Don't go to court with me, said God, because you'll lose. Don't go to court with me. You will lose. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to take you and adopt you. I'm going to make you as my son in my Father's house. I'm going to put you. I'm the judge. I took off my robe and went to the cross. I did that. And therefore, when you receive me, I'm going to go and be merciful to you. And I'm going to make you my son. I want you to be as my son in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the Son. And in Christ, the Son, we are sons, plural. And now the sons are in the Father's house and not in the Father's court. The Father is the judge. And God has rescued. That's called mercy. God's wonderful mercy to save us.